Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Four Times a Podcast. Just before we get started, I want to thank our sponsors, footballprizes.co.uk, for their continued support of the podcast. This week's Celtic prize is a signed and framed Kyogo Japan shirt, so it's a lovely looking top. I'm sure a lot of you have bought the Japan top after the success of our Japanese signings, but yeah, this one's a signed Kyogo one. It'd make a perfect addition to anybody's collection if you're after some Celtic signed memorabilia. But if you're want to enter that, go over to footballprizes.co.uk, search competitions, you'll find it. And if you use their code 4x10, it'll get you 10% off your ticket cost as well. So in mind of day, that save yourself some money and be in with a chance of winning that great prize. But thanks very much to them for continuing to support the podcast, and to everybody that's used their promo code, thanks. But we've got on with the show now. And welcome to another episode of Four Times a Podcast. You join us Thursday the 9th of March. It's just under 24 hours since Celtic were victorious in the league against Hearts. They went behind early on to a Josh Ginnelly header, but came back to win the game 3-1 thanks to goals from Daizen Maeda, Kyogo and Sead Haksabanovic. But we've also got the St Mirren game that happened on Sunday to cover as well, so this is the first time back since then. But we'll start with the Hearts game. Danny, it was the second time in a few days that Celtic have had to come back from an early setback, and they did so in some style. It's just, it was Ange's 100th game, and I think it sort of typified the way that this team plays. They just, as the cliche goes, they never stop, and that's twice in 4 days it's been proved.
Ah, you're right. I think the mental toughness of the squad was tested over the last week, and they've responded to it. And you know, St Mirren have got a right good home record. Obviously, it's the only place Ange hadn't won yet, the only team it beat us this season. So to go a goal down early probably made the players think it was going to happen again, but they just keep going. And 5 second half goals, I know we were a wee bit aided somewhat by the red card, but the second half were really, really good and kicked on to last night. And Hearts are not a bad team, and I know they made some changes, but so did we, and probably both teams had an eye on Saturday's cup tie instead. But I thought it was a good game in the first half, and Hearts were right in it, but we just keep going. And they knew that the goal was coming for Celtic, but they just keep going. And the amount of space that we're getting in behind for Kyogo's movement and the pace of Maeda and Abada, though, and I thought Abada was quite poor, actually, considering the impact they'd had at the weekend. But I just, you know, get the goal back, and then the second half was much more like what we're used to. I thought Jota was really good when he came on. Haksabanovic was really good, scored a great goal as well. So, aye, it was a pleasing win last night and against a team, you know, third in the league but quite some distance. So it was good to win and, you know, keep a 9-point lead, and we're just another one closer to the league title.
Aye, very much so. And Tony, I'll bring you in. You were there as well last night. What did you make of the game? As Danny says, we're really getting to the point where we are starting to chalk down the wins until we get closer to another title under Ange.
Yeah, I thought first half was quite difficult. They get an early goal. I think their goal was really clear. It was onside. I don't know why the flag went up. Same Moores. Again, we spoke about kind of officials in this country. Just totally useless. Takes the sting out the celebrations a bit. And two big decisions that if there was no VAR, they too would have got wrong. Did they get any punishment for getting these decisions wrong, even though VAR corrected it? I don't think so. So that was a bit frustrating. We couldn't properly celebrate the Maida goal, which was great play. It's a great through ball by Ralston, whose balls last night were either absolutely fantastic, 3 points at Murrayfield. So he'll need to get his crossing back up to speed pronto. Kyogo does excellent and puts Maida through. I thought second half, he obviously gave them a rocket right up the arse at half time and says, we need you up it. And we did. I thought Jota was excellent for the goal he put us in front. And again, you're under a bit of pressure because Rangers, I think, were 4-1 up and we were still 1-1. So you don't want to give them anything. And we didn't. But we gave them a goal on us. So I think our goal difference is only 27 better than theirs now. So Big Ange need to be careful. He'll not get to 101 games. Once we stepped up, we were really good. Jota and Moy. Moy's always picking up space. We spoke about it before. He'd done it in the League Cup final. He's done it at Hearts before. He's just always finding pockets of space. Lays it to Kyogo and he finishes as he's done all season. He's now three ahead of Shanklin in the top scorer charts, which is great. Aksabanovic has been threatening to get in the score sheet. He should have got on it previously. Delighted for him. Really good player. Big, big fan of Aksabanovic. I think he can consider himself quite unlucky. He's not as many minutes as he would like, but that's just due to everybody contributing, and we've obviously been winning, so it's hard to kind of change our winning formula, but absolutely delighted for him. And it's a fantastic finish, top bag. I think he's probably set for a start on Saturday due to Maida leaving the stadium in crutches. Hopefully he's nothing too serious for Maida, but I'd be very surprised if he was back for Saturday. But overall, I mean, it's another win. It was professional enough. I'd like to cut out the losing the first goal that we did against St Mirren. I'd like to, our next game, if we could get a nice early two-goal lead, that would be fantastic. But, it shows the resilience this team have had. And when Ange makes his subs, he seems to be perfecting them. And when they come on, they're making such a huge difference, I think. St Mirren, did three of the subs score? O'Reilly, and Abada, I think. So it's excellent. It's so good to see the state the squad's in. We haven't picked up any injuries until Maida, so that was a bit unfortunate, but we'll still get enough in the tank to go again on Saturday, which will be a great game. I've no doubt it'll be a good atmosphere, but I'd like to think we start a wee bit quicker on Saturday. You could argue it's the biggest game of the season, the way things are shaping up, because you'd like to think we're going to win the league, and obviously everybody wants a treble, which is no mean feat. It's not easy, even though in previous years we've made it look very easy. But no, I'm just delighted that we won. I thought it was a good game. I thought some of their time waste in the first half was just mental. Seemed Robbie Nielsen thought Burnaby should have been sent off, which is total shite. I think we could beat him 15-0 on Saturday, and he wouldn't give us a bit of credit. A very strange individual. But I just hope we're well prepared for Saturday. I'm assuming we will be, and we set about them and get to the semi-final and get back to Hamden. I'm trying to think who else. I thought Burnaby kind of had spells where he looked really good and spells where he wasn't great. I prefer, obviously, Alistair Johnson to Ralston, but Ralston's been out for a while and he was excellent when it came to getting equaliser. So, happy overall.
Aye, I think, as you say, it was a lot of good impressions for the substitutes, but I think the one thing I'd take for last night, I thought that the first half was a lot of sort of underperforming, in terms of, I thought Ralston was poor, I thought Burnaby, I agree with you, I think he'd done as much good as he'd done bad. He tried to do too much for me at times, I thought he was trying to do it all by himself when he could have just maybe been using the midfielders to sort of take a bit of the pressure off him. But I thought Hearts tried to target him, and especially free kicks and goal kicks, they tried to get down his side, and I don't think they really get much joy with it. So I think he'd done all right, considering it's his first game for a while. And I know Ralston looked off the pace, but it's his first game in a few months, and I know I think Angelo did to it in the post-match that he wasn't too impressed with the performance overall. But I thought Dyson Maida, as you say, it'll be a big loss if it is an extended period of time. I'm hoping it was just an impact injury with the keeper, and hopefully it was just a precaution with the crutches and that, because I thought in the limited amount of time he was on the first half, I thought he was brilliant. I thought he just sort of drove down the left-hand side, and I know he'd get a few critics on Sunday, but I think when you're playing on the bigger pitches like Celtic Park and Hampden and that, that's when Maeda really comes in easy, and I thought again last night he was really good. Kyogo, just his run for the first goal as well, is just unbelievable. It's, as you say, it was a great Bobby Ralston, and Kyogo's just the times it to perfection. The fact that I went to VAR was just a joke, I think you mentioned it, like, there's got to be some sort of response from the SFA when these officials are getting these decisions so far wrong. It's like, I've seen, like, I think people are right, they're just hiding behind VAR. When VAR get brought in, we were told it's not there to referee games or re-referee games, but every single big decision, the referees and the linesmen seem to just shit themselves and flag, or just, like, they don't take any, like, if they think that's, like, if that had been ruled out last night, it would have been an absolute disgrace. And I know the Hearts goal got checked as well, and there was even sort of disputes about whether the line was in the right way, and I know if they'll never come out and say it, but there was a lot of angles that looked like the boy was maybe offside. But no, I thought, as I was going to say, as much as the subs had a great impact, I was so delighted that that Ange didn't make subs at half-time, because I was probably shouting for them. I wanted Johnston and Hitati brought on at half-time, but I think, as you say, Ange probably gave him a bit of a rocket, and I was glad that they sort of got the goal before the subs came on, because it's just a sort of, like, the team worked it out again, and I know, like, we're so used to winning under Ange, and it would have been easy for the subs to come on, and if they had the impact, you'd just see people talking about how we've got so much more strength from the bench. So the fact that the starting 11 was able to make the difference was really good. I thought the ball from Moy was just put it on a plate for Kyogo, and the finish was brilliant. And then, as you said, Haksabanovic, he's really impressed when he's come off the bench in the last few games, and I know he missed a couple of chances in the cup final, but I think he really is pushing, because I thought Abada was poor as well last night. I thought his decision making was really poor, and just in general, I know a lot of people have been sort of having a go at Ange for keeping him on the bench for so long, but I thought last night sort of justified why he has been on the bench for the last few weeks. But delighted that we got it over, because obviously when Hearts come up against one half of Glasgow, you can see that the day up the game, and it was a sort of merrier challenge than we've had in a lot of games this season at Celtic Park, and it's a good test for the cup game coming up as well. And obviously I think they'll be back to full strength for guys like Shankland and Snodgrass, who obviously didn't play last night, so it's also a massive game. But Andy, just before we move on for the Hearts game, what did you make it? And hey, as I said, those 40 inches for the St Mirren game, did any of them stand out for you, or did anybody not take their chance, maybe?
I think similarly, obviously, the St Mirren game, we both went 1-0 down in both games in the 6th minute, which obviously isn't ideal. But as you see, it's made about the response, obviously. It's St Mirren down to 10 men, and that changed the game, because we were sort of getting onto the front foot at that point and really taking over the game, and I need out my mind whether it was 10 men or fucking 12 men here in the park, we would have won the game anyway. But for Hearts, it was, it's Ralston makes a bit of an arse here, boys down the line, good ball and good header. I agree, I don't know why they were pissing about with VAR. I wasn't really any doubt in my mind that the goal was all right, and the reaction was really good. I think after that, I can't really think of them having too many clear-cut opportunities, whereas we seemed to sort of grow in the game. I don't think we were great at any point in the first half. I know Maeda obviously getting a bit of joy before he gets off and about the half-hour mark, and obviously he gets the goal, which is a fantastic run for Kyogo. And then again, bought across with a cutback and puts it in. Maeda was getting a bit of joy, but I've got to agree, I thought both fullbacks were poor in the first half. Abada was poor, which wasn't at it, and I just felt we were a bit probably sluggish in the middle of the park. I just felt as if the all three of them, sort of McGregor, Moy and O'Reilly, they took a wee bit to get going. But again, it's hard to be too critical, and I know loads of people were quick to jump on, oh, there's too many changes, I'm sure I learned through this before, but that's fucking nonsense. Well, I've been banging the drum about how strong the squad is and all the rest of it for long enough. It was just a poor start. Parts capitalised on it, but we reset, and I think the manager showed his belief. I don't think we made this up to about the 75th minute. Can't have to have my head, but run about that mark. So I think that tells you a lot about the difference for, obviously, bar in mind, it's obviously going to have an injury, but I mean, that's aside for that. But barring that, I think it's clear to see the how we improved and how we grew into the game. I thought when we came out of the second half, it really only looked like one team was interested in winning. They weren't fucking interested in winning the game for the first minute. I think I'd love to see the accumulated time that Xander Clark had the ball, whether for goal kicks or just the ball being passed back to him. I'd love first somebody to have that totted up just to see, because it's a fucking disgrace how much keepers get away with just hodding onto the ball. I know it's not a rule that's employed often about ref penalising keepers, but even when just every fucking chance he gets, whether it's 1-0, 1 each or 2-1, it doesn't matter, he's doing it. They're 2-1 doing, he's still taking the piss. So the team grew into the game second half. Obviously whatever Andrew just said to them has worked. We've came out, got our second, and really for there it was, we just sort of grew and grew, and then the subs came on, and as I've said, the depth in the squad is, it's a fucking sight to behold, to be honest. When you think about the three subs that we brought on, we had Sabanovic, Hatate and O, at that moment in time was incredible. Obviously, Awata comes on later on, who I think is somebody we are going to see more and more. I'm really impressed with him. But the one that stood out for all the players that sort of featured, whether for the start or for any point, was Hak Sabanovic. We've spoken about him on here before. He had a wee, I think maybe 10 minutes or whatever against Rangers in the Cup. Then he was causing havoc again, done well against St Mirren, and then he reaped the reward today. He just looks so dangerous, and you're starting to see him get that fitness and get to that level that he was at prior to the World Cup and prior to obviously the team getting away to Australia. Obviously, I know he scored against Ross County and scored a couple against United before that, but I think you're starting to see him just get back to that level. And he's somebody that I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Mary. And I think now we obviously hopefully reminder injuries don't went too serious and it's a bit of an impact. I don't think he'll feature at the weekend. I think it's probably too soon for him. But again, that's just me entirely guessing. I don't know. It was a bit of a poor performance. I think he's got so much. We were obviously speaking about this after the game with Abad. He's got so much good for him in terms of being in the right position at the right time and arriving late and putting the ball in the net, which is fucking huge, and obviously he gets a good number of assists as well, but there's parts of his game that he can really improve on. But again, he's 21-year-old, there's a high possibility that will come. But Hak Sabanovic, I reckon, is really sort of working his way into the starting lineup. If he continues that sort of wee cameos that you've seen him for the end of games recently, if you see that and he extends that out a longer period of time, and then as you say, when injuries happen to guys like Maeda, a guy like Abada has an half day, he's going to get his chance in the starting 11, and a day back him to grab it with both hands and sort of no look back. We've seen it before with players that say like they get a chance through other players' misfortune, injury and whatever else, and once they go in the team, it's a fucking hard time to get them back out. So I think he's the big one that stood out for me, and well deserving his goal. It was a fucking fantastic finish. I think the whole crowd was screaming for him to hit it when he did. He thoroughly deserved it, and somebody that I think he's just similar to Yota, but he's got a lot of differences in the way that he works, and I think his feet are probably just as good for my money. He's somebody that I was delighted with. But I think it just speaks volumes about the character, and if anything, for Angie's Hunter's game, it was probably the most fitting way to win it, to go behind and sort of have that mentality to come out. We don't panic, nothing changes, we go about it the same way, we reap the rewards because teams can't cope with it for 90 minutes. Aye, they might be able to hold out for half hour or whatever it is, but if we stick to our principles and play our game, we will beat them because we are better all over the park and we know it.
Yep, definitely, and I agree with a lot of what you say. I think Hak Sabanovic, it'll be interesting to see if he is brought in. Obviously, we'll touch on the cup game in just a wee setting, but throw a wee bit of curveball in. Obviously, last night was Ange's 100th competitive game, and the banner in the standing section last night says, here's to 100 more, so I'll just put you on the spot. Danny, you can go first. Will Ange be here for 100 more?
I will. I think he will. I think it's only another 18 months, basically. So, or just over 18 months. So, I think he'll be here. But they shock me if he isn't, don't get me wrong. But I don't see any reason for him to leave now. He's about to win another league title. He's going to make it at least four trophies in his first two seasons. Going for a treble. He's got the Champions League next year. And pretty much, he's got to start getting results in the Champions League. But it is, when we get to the Champions League, the way it is, you know, the draw could very... I mean, if the draw could very much render it a free hit straight away when you see what the draw is like, so... He's trying to build something towards the Champions League. I don't see why anywhere else that he would go. I mean, I know I floated the idea of Spurs the other night in the group chat. I think that would maybe be a difficult one for him to turn down, given the kind of resources and the players that Spurs have got compared to here. But I don't see him getting a massive, massive job. You know, Spurs would maybe be the limit of what he would get leaving Celtic. And it doesn't seem a type to me that wants to go to a Wolves or a Southampton or a whatever, you know, probably naming the team that he'll go to. But it doesn't strike me as a type that wants to go there and build something, you know, just to finish 12th in the league. You know, I think he wants to go somewhere where he can win and he can build a winning team, and he's got that now. And that, to me, he's got hundreds of unfinished business. He's no won the Scottish Cup yet. He's no won a game in like a Champions League game yet. So to me, he's got hundreds of unfinished business, and he looks as hungry as ever. I mean, I think the last couple of weeks he's been more animated than he's been at all really, and he's been fairly animated since he's been the manager. I think the last couple of weeks he's been really passionate, and you know, his celebrations in the League Cup final didn't he look like a guy that was about to leave, or he was thinking about it. So, I mean, why not? We're talking, it'd be 2025, I think, before his next 100 games. Or at the end of... Aye, sorry, 2025, aye. So I don't see why he'll only be here by that point. But again, you know, a lot can change in a day in football, as we've seen before.
That's very true. Tony, you've actually asked him before, would he sign a 5-year contract? Do you think he'll be here for another 100 games, never mind 5-year?
I don't know. He's never really come out and says, I want to be here for 5 years, or I'm definitely going to stay. I think he's American, obviously things could go Pete Tong and he could be sacked. I guess the thing he says is, somebody asked him about it, he says, I think you'll be surprised how long he'll be here. Yeah, I would like to think that's him saying I'm going to be here for another 2 or 3 years, or as long as he likes, really. I don't know, I really don't know. I mean, it's easy for him to say how much he loves it, and I believe him. I do believe he genuinely loves it and enjoys the project. I know he's already looking at squad improvements for next year, but what if a big team did come in? What if a fucking, I don't know, a Spurs come in, for example? That was his name, get touted for that off somebody. I know there's no really... You're not going to win it, I suppose. They don't really win trophies, but the Premier League, I think it's the biggest stadium in Britain now. They play in potential Champions League football. I don't know. I just do league shite. It's so bad now. There's no real competition. I'm well aware Hearts could beat us in this one-half game, but in terms of, if you look at us in Rangers, the last kind of 3 months, nobody's taken a point off either one of us, if I'm fair. Taking them off ourselves, so I'd love him to stay. I'd love to see him do something in Europe. I think I said in a previous pod, these opportunities there. If he can get into the Europa League after Christmas, finish third in the Champions League group, he could really, that could be his legacy at Celtic if it goes to plan. But 100 games, another 18 months, we're big and still over here in 2024. No. Would it be the end of 2024? I don't know. Hopefully, I'd be delighted. Be delighted if it would be. But I don't know. I'm going to say no. I don't think he'll be here in 18 months. That's my unfortunate prediction. I think if he keeps in the way he's going, somebody's going to come in and probably make him an offer he can't refuse. And I just don't understand how he's not signed a new deal with us to get more money. I thought he would have wanted a pay rise or something like that. I've no doubt he's earned mega bonuses for the cups he's won, getting us into the Champions League, etc. But that would be better than any signing if he was to sign a long-term deal. See if they could just pick a right good moment to announce that. It would really, the club would be bouncing into the rest of the season. But I'm going to say no. I think he'll go to a bigger league.
Andy, so we've got one for yes and one for no. What are you leaning towards?
I can agree with a lot of what Tony's just said. I think no, but I think he'll be here to the end of next season. And I think his performances, Faye obviously knew, I think we will improve in Europe. And I think the accumulation of the two will sort of get to the point where, listen, we're fucking never going to win the Champions League. So progression in Europe and improvement in Europe is obviously what we can look for. I think we'll get that, whether that's the Champions League, Europa, I don't know, but I think we will sort of go in and win games. I actually think that we'll get in the Champions League, finish third, and then win a knockout tie in the Europa League, but we'll come to that at the end of the season. Don't want to get ahead of myself, because I never know if I can fucking leave them order, but I think no, but I think he'll not be too far off. I think he'll see you to the end of next season. So we'll go with that. I think I don't know if I'm calculating that right, but I think it'll forge us short of another 100 games.
Aye. In terms of the answers that you three have gave, I'm sort of leaning towards what Andy says. I think, first of all, I'd say I don't think there's any chance he'll leave us mid-season or any point during the season. I think we're safe this season because I think that he's going to be desperate for another shot at the Champions League. I think as much as the Champions League's where we want to be and where the money is, like, I think this team might have benefited if they had, like, obviously it would have been ideal if we'd have dropped in the Europa League, but I think no having that sort of chance to test them at that level's unfortunate, because I think we could have done well this season. But I think he'll want another shot at that, because obviously he's an ambitious guy and he's only had that one shot. And in terms of the clubs down south that get Champions League, I don't think, I know you're saying Spurs, but I still think the gap's a bit big between these sort of top elite clubs coming for our managers or coming for our players. I think there's sort of still a bit in between. Like, Ange might buck the trend, don't get me wrong, but I just think that he wouldn't get Champions League football. Well, down in England, he might get it abroad, maybe. He's obviously managed in Japan and Australia, so I don't think it's necessarily England or bust, but obviously that's the most frequently touted location for his next move. But it's a weird one, because after the cup final, when he did say, you might be surprised how long I'm here, I took that as, he's got to be here for the next 4 or 5 years. And then when that wee Gabriel from Clyde One asked him, he seemed to, I can't tell you if I'll be here for 100 games, and it's not up to me, which is obviously true, but I think it would be some sequence of events would have to happen for Celtic fans to want to get rid of him in that space of time. I think he's just got everybody so on board, Merlin, most Celtic managers in the past. I don't think there's been a manager for a long time that's had this sort of connection. But I think it might come down to how we do in the Champions League as well, because I think if we could improve our performances and still finish bottom of the Champions League group, and I think if that was to happen again at the end of next season, I could maybe see Ange. Like, as I say, I think he's a really ambitious guy, and when he was speaking about Juranovic leaving and how it's a short career, I think he'll probably be pushing 60 around about the end of next season, and I think he might want to challenge himself in one of the top 4 or 5 leagues in the world. And if you look at through history, the shelf life of a Celtic manager usually is about 3 or 4 years. I think obviously Strachan stayed 4 years, and I think he spoke and after that saying he sort of regretted staying for that extra season. So I don't know, my heart says aye, but I think, unfortunately, I'm going to agree with Andy and Tony and say I don't think he will. I think he could leave at the end of next season. If you had a gun in my head and was to say what
just
I think.
But, jump in again, Dan. Yeah. I completely agree with what the boys were saying earlier. I don't think it'll be for any fucking fodder that's going to basically either come up for the championship and fucking wrestle with Stein League, or anybody that knows for a fact they're going to be in that fucking relegation dogfighter trying to stay up. I don't believe for a second he's going
to say that, Andy, but look at the mess that he took over when he took over for us. We were a fucking,
we picked up over the players.
So if you've got a Premier League team that says, oh, here's 150 million, go and build a team.
I know, but let's all put our fucking sensible hats on here. Like, when you take your Celtic Rangers, we were fucking shite, right?
But we only need to beat one team over here.
You only need to be better than them, really. Look how fucking poor this league is. Whereas if you go into that league down there, and let's be honest, he's probably only going to get one pop at it in terms of being down there. Rodgers get another pop in terms of Liverpool, because obviously he had success with Swansea, came up here, had success. Obviously, he made an arse of Liverpool win between that. I mean, he came close to winning the league as he had prior to Klopp, so that's no strictly true. But when he left, it was all a bit of a fucking mess. And a lot of teams weren't really getting near him. And then obviously, he had success here, so we get Leicester. I don't think Ange gets that second chance in England. I think if he goes down, say fucking just completely out of the blue here, say Burnley came up this season with company, they have a fucking howler, finished my spot above a relegation zone. He's out in his arse and they say, right, Ange, there's the gig. I don't think he touches it. I think he takes one look at that and says no. I reckon it's you're more looking at somebody who fancies themselves a bit as established mid-table. They're just a bit bigger than that. I just don't think he's going to touch a team who are almost certain to be bobbing about relegation. I'd be shocked. Don't get me wrong, it can happen to fucking any team, especially when you look down there and teams like West Ham have spent a fortune, but there's a high chance they can get down. Absolutely can happen to MD, but I just don't see him touching one of the yo-yo teams for the Championship in the Premier League. I think it would be a more established team, as you say, a sort of Spurs or West Ham. I'd chuck them in there, and all one of the bigger teams, if you like, in that league. I just don't see him for a second getting near somebody that's down there. If Everton managed to avoid it, like, let's be honest, they're a big club that are just fucking managed terribly. Like a Brighton, somebody like that, who are established for long enough in the league. But I'd be utterly astounded if we went near somebody like fucking Bournemouth or Southampton. I'd be astounded by it, because like I say, I think if he leaves us to get in there, he gets one pop at it. If it goes tits up, then a lot of people will be telling me, go back to Australia or come back up here.
No, you make a good point, and only time will tell. Maybe we'll revisit it in the future, but I can just guarantee one thing, that a year after Rodgers left, we'd done an episode questioning whether Neil Lennon was a better Celtic manager than Brendan, but I can guarantee that we won't be doing that a year after Ange leaves. Well, somebody might be, but if Lennon's the manager, we certainly won't be. I think we'd chuck a pod, but right, we'll move on to the quarter-final at Tynecastle on Saturday, because it is fast approaching. We are recording Thursday night and we're playing Saturday lunchtime, but Danny, what are you expecting for it? Obviously, they gave us a bit of a test last night, and obviously the game at Tynecastle previously, you were at it. It was topsy-turvy game with loads of goals. It was finished by your hero, Greg Taylor.
It was me and good friend of the show, KB, had a smashing day in the Roseburn. It was a lot of fun. So it was certainly a lot of fun. It was a great game. I think more of the same on Saturday. I think Hearts will be, you know, they're going to be up for it. This is their cup final before they lose to Rangers in either the cup final or semi-final if they get by us. But they'll be right up for it. There's no doubt about that. And so will Celtic, but, you know, Ange's teams are always right up for it. Even if they don't play great, they're always up for a battle. And I think Saturday you've seen a different early kick-off. It'll be a really good game. I'm gutted I'm not going. My friend couldn't help me out this time, but I'm looking forward to it, because this is a, you know, quarter final. If you go to win trebles, if you go to win cups, Hearts away in a quarter finals, there's games you want to go through and win and get there, and, you know, it makes a season. You can look back and say, oh, when we went there, you knew the treble was on or whatever. So looking forward to it. I think it'll be a really good game, and I'd expect Hearts to be much more the same as last night. I know they'll bring back some players, but I think they played quite well last night in spells. I know Nielsen came out and said it's the best he's ever seen an away team play at Celtic Park, which I thought was quite funny. But they did have two or three really good passages to play, but we couldn't get the ball off them, especially 1-0. So they can definitely play, but I think most of their game plan was just to fire it up to Ginelli, and then when he went half injured, they done it to the is it Oda, the Japanese boy, and he was never going to win in the air. So probably bring Shanklin back if he's fat. I don't know if he's not. I've not seen any news about it. Probably will be, and they'll probably go for it. but that could play into our horns and we could pick them off again. And we kind of did that in the 4-3 game. You know, we waited, we were turning over, we were a goal up, then we were 2-1 down, then we were 3-2 up, and then it was 3-each, and then we finally won it. But I don't think it'll be 4-3 this time, but I do think Celtic will go through, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think Hearts away is probably my favourite fixture of the season for Celtic. I just love it when we go to Tynecastle, especially since I moved to Edinburgh, but it's always a great occasion, and I'm really looking forward to Saturday.
Yep, definitely. As you say, it's one of the games. It's always a tough place to go, and as the last game showed, it was back and forth, and obviously that was the introduction of VAR that day for us, and the standard's not improved since then, so I'm sure we can expect more of that at the weekend. But Andy, what are you expecting, and would you be making any changes to the starting lineup? Or I'd expect the two fullbacks to maybe be the first two come back in.
I think you see, obviously, the team sort of revert closer to what we had prior. Excuse me, to what we had prior against that. So I think you see Johnston coming back in at right back. I assume that as long as Taylor's all right, you'll probably see him coming back in at left back as well. I think Hitati will sort of work his way into the midfield. You would assume that will be for O'Reilly, given how Moy's been. Obviously, like, give himself another assist and sort of really grew into the game as time went on. And then I think we might, again, in a baddest performance, I would assume. And obviously, given that Yota's been sort of the starting right winger, if you like, I think the front three will be Yota, Furuhashi and Haksabanovic. So I think for the most part, the team will sort of get back to what has been the starting 11 in recent weeks, with the exception of Maeda. I think that'll be for Haksabanovic, and all that is the change that I would make. So pretty much how we set up against St Mirren, just with that change on the left-hand side. I think that's how he will go. I think, as I said before, Haksabanovic has probably done enough to sort of get his chance. That's the type of game he's going to thrive in. He's that type of player. He's out to prove a point. He's constantly out to prove a point. I think you've seen it. You've heard them speak about it before in interviews. The boy's no short in confidence, so it's the exact type of game I want to see him in, because he's got a bit of needle about him as well. But I think that's how we will line up, and that's probably how I would line up as well. And as you say, I think, don't get me wrong, that they'll probably take a lot of confidence for how they played, although we ran out of the tap of them the second half, and I was just saying they didn't really test Joe Hart on their goal. They'll be out. We're at home mentality, all out. They can be got out. They can concede goals. We were one each for however long it was, 60 minutes in an hour or whatever. We're at home. They'll have players back. They'll be up for it, as we know when we play them. They raise their game. As Danny mentioned, it's their cup final. No doubt about that, but I reckon we'll revert to what has been the starting 11, if you like, with the exception of Maeda, because I don't think he'll make it. And that's the only change that I can see happening. Although I should add, I wouldn't be entirely surprised at all if we started with Abada, Yota and Kyogo, because obviously the manager's a fan of him, and he's Abada scored a lot of goals. It was 1.5 game that he started, and he was poor, but don't get the boy wrong. Came off the bench, scored against Aberdeen. Came off the bench, scored against St Mirren. So I don't want to be too critical. It might look like I'm getting on at him, but I just think it's more that Haksabanovic is working his way into the squad as opposed to Abada's being that poor.
I think you're right. I think it will be the sort of more commonly seen starting 11. I think you will see Hitati, Moy and McGregor in the middle. I think two fullbacks will come back in, and I think it is just that sort of wide place that's up for debate. I think, obviously, if Maeda has left Celtic Park on crutches, then you've got to rate him a doubt, especially given there's only two full days recovery between the two games. But I'd fancy us to... I think that game will maybe have gave us a bit of a warning about Hearts. I know the fact that they did give us a bit of a challenge last night, I think, will set us up nicely for Saturday. But I think, for me, Haksabanovic will be the one that comes in. I think Abada was pretty poor last night, and I think I'll see him back on the bench. And I know we lost the semi-final to him last season, but in these sort of one-off games, the team's no let us down, really. So I'd expect us to go there and have another big performance, and I think it'll be a pretty tight game, but I'll go first with predictions, and I think it'll be 2-1 Celtic. I think it'll be really tight, and it'll be a second half winner from Kyogo, and I think that Aaron Moy will get the other goal from the penalty spot. But Danny, what's your prediction?
I'm going to go for 4-0, but I think it will be tight up until about the 70th minute, and I think we'll get a second around about the 65th minute, and then we'll pull away and score a couple more later on. And I think Kyogo will get another two, and Taxi Banovic will score the first goal, and then at the end, Ivata will score his first goal for Celtic at the end. Looking forward to it.
That'd certainly be nice, but Andy, I'll get you wrap up predictions because Tony's lost connection somewhere in the Irish Sea. But I will put him down for a 5-0 Kyogo hat trick because that's his usual prediction. What are you going for?
I think we better make it clear that he's not doing a charity swim or anything like that. He's actually on the boat. I'll go for. Do you know what? I'm going to go 4-1. And Haxa Banovic to be in the score sheet. I can't be sitting here bigging him up for fucking the last hour or whatever it is and not having him in the score sheet. I'm going to go 4-1. I actually think they'll score first again. And it'll be a very similar performance, although I think we'll be leading at the break. That'll be the difference this time. But I dare. They're going to get some fucking stupid penalty or some nonsense handball or something fucking daft going to happen, and they'll take the lead and it'll finish 4-1.
AI, that would be good as well, but that'll do us. We'll get this episode out and you can have a listen to it as you get ready for Saturday's game. We will be back after it to hopefully discuss Celtic getting into another semi-final, and we'll have the draw by then as well, so we'll be able to have a wee look towards that. But if you've made it this far, thank you very much for listening. Make sure to keep an eye on the YouTube. Tony was on with Sean and Kieran this week, and they were discussing who had the better team between Brendan Rodgers and Ange Postecoglou, or like a combined 11. So make sure to go there and check that out. Just search for Full Times a Podcast on YouTube, and that should come up. We will be back next week, as I say, and make sure to check out our Twitter and Facebook for all the latest updates. Cheers for listening.
3 Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.